Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, because we are dependent on the Lord, also in this worship service, we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Receive the greeting of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us respond to God's greeting, singing together Psalm 105, the stanzas 1 and 3. Oh, thank the Lord with great rejoicing. Now profess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I'll read the Articles 1 up to 7, and after that we'll complete our profession of faith, or confession of faith, with singing together Hymn 2, Stanza 3. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Let us unite in prayer. Holy Heavenly Father, how good and pleasant it is to be in the church again this afternoon. We as the body of Christ and a communion of saints, we are gathered by you. You gave the office bearers the instruction to call us, to call your people together for worship. And how restful and restorative it is to gather in your name. Because your Spirit is building our faith by words of encouragement, love and forgiveness and fellowship with you. And through him we are encouraging each other by singing of your deeds and acts in history. As the psalmist sang, so echo our hearts. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so in the righteousness that is by faith in Christ and by the invitation given us also by him, we do come before you to offer our praises and thanksgiving and to make known to you, Father, our daily needs. And with the assurance of Scripture firmly in mind, we have no doubt that you will hear our prayers and will surely answer them according to your wisdom and to our benefit and to the blessing of the church and to your own great glory. Lord, we pray for your church, both local and worldwide. Strengthen and encourage those in trouble, especially those who are persecuted. Give us grace to continuously see all your gifts to us, even in simple things like freedom to gather, a building to celebrate, to worship, an organ to support our music, or just our voices gathered to sing a cappella, to sing to you. For you have given us hearts filled with the Holy Spirit. You've given us words in your word to sing to you. What a blessing it is, Lord, that while other Christians, believers, have to gather in secret, here we are, taking all these things for granted. Father, pour grace upon grace on them and us, also in the word preached this afternoon. Help us to concentrate, help us to focus on you, and help that we will find joy in your kingdom. Indeed, be our God and take us on as your people, despite our sins and many shortcomings, also in worship. Be pleased with your church here in Rockingham and continue to make her into that object of beauty that you so desire. Father, we pray, bless also our brothers and sisters who are in discomfort and who are ill this afternoon due to physical, mental burdens. Give them to enjoy the fellowship with us. Also, if they follow via internet, let us not forget their special place in our midst. In all things, Lord, we are indebted to you. And apart from the life and death of Jesus Christ, our debts would overwhelm us. And we thank you and praise you for the wonders of the cross that cancelled our debts and restored us to you. And when we remember this also in the sign, in baptism, we confess from Scripture, as we open your word this afternoon, enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit and give us true faith to receive your word. We pray all these things in the name of our beloved cross-bearer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us, congregation, continue to worship the Lord. In the thank offerings that we may give, and this afternoon will be for the theological students. After the collections, let us sing together Psalm 112, stanzas 1 and 3. Brothers and sisters, let us read God's word this afternoon from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. First letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1 to 13. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our example, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. All these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with a temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So far, reading from God's word. Let's now turn also to the summary of God's word in Article 34 of the Belgic Confession on the sacrament of baptism. This is also our focus point in Lord's Day 26 this afternoon. We read Article 34 on page 513 in the Book of Praise. We believe and confess that Jesus Christ, who is the end of the law, has, by his shed blood, put an end to every other shedding of blood that one could or would make as an expiation or satisfaction for sins. He has abolished circumcision, which involved blood, and has instituted in its place the sacrament of baptism. By baptism, we are received into the church of God and set apart from all other peoples and false religions to be entirely committed to him whose mark and emblem we bear. This serves as a testimony to us that he will be our God and gracious Father forever. For that reason, he has commanded all those who are his to be baptized with plain water into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. By this he signifies to us that as water washes away the dirt of the body when poured on us, and as water is seen on the body of the baptized when sprinkled on him, so the blood of Christ by the Holy Spirit does the same thing internally to the soul. It washes and cleanses our soul from sin and regenerates us from children of wrath into children of God. This is not brought about by the water as such, but by the sprinkling of the precious blood of the Son of God, which is our Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, that is, the devil, and enter into the spiritual land of Canaan. And thus the ministers, on their part, give us the sacrament and what is visible, but our Lord gives us what is signified by the sacrament, namely the invisible gifts and grace. He washes, purges, and cleanses our souls of all filth and unrighteousness, renews our hearts, and fills them with all comfort, gives us true assurance of his fatherly goodness, clothes us with the new nature, and takes away the old nature with all its works. We believe, therefore, that anyone who aspires to eternal life ought to be baptized only once. Baptism should never be repeated, for we cannot be born twice. Moreover, baptism benefits us not only when the water is on us and when we receive it, but throughout our whole life. For that reason, we reject the error of the Anabaptists, who are not content with a single baptism received only once, and who also condemn the baptism of the little children of believers. We believe that these children ought to be baptized and sealed with the sign of the covenant, as infants were circumcised in Israel on the basis of the same promises which are now made to our children. Indeed, Christ shed his blood to wash the children of believers just as much as he shed it for adults. Therefore, they ought to receive the sign and sacrament of what Christ has done for them, as the Lord commanded in the law that a lamb was to be offered shortly after children were born. This was the sacrament of the suffering and death of Jesus Christ. Because baptism has the same significance for our children as circumcision had for the people of Israel, Paul calls baptism the circumcision of Christ. So far, reading from the Belgic Confession, Article 34. Let's now sing together hymn 57, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. We praise you, Lord, that this child is grafted into the vine. We have come up to Lord's Day 26 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Let us read that together in the Book of Praise on page 540. Lord's Day 26, question answer 69. How does holy baptism signify and seal to you that the one sacrifice of Christ on the cross benefits you? In this way, Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it gave the promise that as surely as the water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly his blood and spirit wash away the impurity of my soul, that is, all my sins. Question answer 70. What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means to receive forgiveness of sins from God through grace, because of Christ's blood poured out for us in his sacrifice on the cross. To be washed with his Spirit means to be renewed by the Holy Spirit and sanctified to be members of Christ, so that more and more we become dead to sin and lead a holy and a blameless life. Question answer 71. Where has Christ promised that he will wash us with his blood and spirit, as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution of baptism, where he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." This promise is repeated where Scripture calls baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins. So far, our Heidelberg Catechism. Response to the preaching, we'll sing Psalm 89, stanzas 1 and 2. So not hymn 58 is on the liturgy sheet, but Psalm 89, verse 1 and 2. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sure you have had a close look at a paper money of, for example, $20. What you probably don't see at first glance is what they call the watermark. It's only visible when you keep the banknote against a light. Against the sunlight. And a watermark is one way to show that the paper money is real, not counterfeit. The paper money also carries a very clear trademark, showing that it belongs to a certain country. Technically, it belongs to the governor of the Reserve Bank. His signature is often on it. Now, we can apply the same somehow to church members. Look around, and you'll see valuable people, way more valuable than $20. Valuable people belonging to the greatest governor of all times. And these people also carry a watermark. And in a sense, they were also his trademark. Because being baptized is typical for a Christian. It's characteristic for a Christian. But such a characteristic must be visible or not. Otherwise, you won't notice it. Now, with the watermark, with baptism, it's a bit difficult. When you meet someone, you can't see whether that person is baptized or not. At least there's no outward sign. It's like the watermark on a paper note, $20 or more. It's not visible by just looking at the person. The baptismal water itself is only visible for maybe a couple of minutes after baptism. But the impact lasts longer. It is visible in the life of God's children, God's covenant children. In that regard, they still show that trademark. The sad thing, however, brothers and sisters, is that many baptized Christians, believers, don't continue to display the impact of their baptism in their lives. Even in our country, Australia, so many nominal baptized Christians whose lives differ very little from non-believers, from unbelievers. But instead of looking outside, how about you? How about us? Is it so clear to others that you are baptized? Even if no one knows that you are baptized, is it clear in your life unto whose name you are baptized? Does your life reflect this triune name as a trademark? We read in the Elder Confession that baptism is a sign, a mark, one can say, a trademark. And a trademark only serves when it's visibly displayed, when it points to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, brothers and sisters, when thinking about it in this way, we can understand why baptism is characteristic of a Christian and why the trademark is so important for Christ's glory's sake. This afternoon we'll focus on the importance of baptism for our lives. As I preach to you the gospel as we confess in Lord's Day 26 as follows, God's watermark is a distinct trademark for his children. First, it is proof of his covenantal love. It is a guarantee of his reliable covenant name, and it signifies his promise of a renewed covenant life. Congregation, where do you find a trademark besides on a paper note? Well, pretty much on any item you can buy, from clothes, vehicles, food, etc., printed or pasted or stamped. But the trademark of baptism is far more profound than any trademark. One can compare it to what was applied to the slaves in the previous century, and occasionally even in modern slavery. And if you think about the ancient times, every slave received a trademark. The owner's name was burned with a hot iron on, or rather in the skin of the slave. Amongst God's people, it was less inflicting. We read in Exodus 21 that if a man bought a fellow Jewish servant, and his servant and his family wanted to remain permanent servants with his master shall bring him to the judges at the gate, and he shall also bring him to the door of his house, to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl, and he shall serve him till the day he dies. It became visible that this man belonged to Mr. such and such, or brother such and such. But generally, it was the name of the owner was burned into the skin. And so, slaves worn the trademark of their master. Some happens today as well. You know, sometimes a pimp will tattoo his name on his sex slaves. And human slavery is quite common these days. I've once read that there are more than 23 million slaves in the world. Yet for many people, for many of God's people in Jesus' time, becoming a servant, becoming a slave, or be part of a household was not as negative always. It was often the only way of survival. Yes, it had a negative side, because when you try to escape and you were caught, and whoever found you could see your owner's name on you, will return you to your boss, and that could be quite detrimental, often punished. But it also has a positive side. Because when you were injured or unconscious, others could see your owner's mark, name, trademark on you and return you to your master for medical care. Or just generally, when walking on the marketplace, everyone saw from that trademark to which household you belonged. And so the trademark refer to the master of the house. Now, congregation, we receive at baptism also a trademark as servants. It's not the water itself. We can say that's the watermark, but God's triune name to which we are connected points to our heavenly master. You belong to him. You wear his trademark because he paid for you. You belong to the household of the Lord. And that household of God is clearly the church, the congregation, the body of Christ. I think the metaphor speaks for itself. Yet congregation, it's not always easy to appreciate the implications of this metaphor. Because then one can't say anymore, I'm my own boss. No, one can only be addressed as a servant, as a slave. Yes, I know Paul said that we are not slaves anymore, we are children of God. But children and slaves in the olden days had more or less the same rights. And who wants to be a slave these days? You probably won't prefer that name to be a servant. But again, it depends how you look at it. If you are God's servant, if you belong to him, and you wear his triune name as a trademark on you, you're actually free. Jesus Christ bought you with his precious blood to release you from your threefold enemy, from sin, Satan, worldly temptations, from slavery. We are liberated from, as our confession says, from the Pharaoh of slavery, Article 34. Romans 6:22 says that we have been set free from sin and became slaves of God. We no longer belong to ourselves or our sinful nature. Receiving the watermark and wearing the trademark of our divine owner means that we are truly free. Free to serve him, free to worship him. Because of the price of the precious blood of Christ. And so the baptismal water shows us that we are washed from our sins with the blood of Christ, signifying what God says, I take you into my covenant household. You are now part of me and my family. My name is on you. And when you confess what the Bible teaches about baptism, it is first about God's promises linked to his name, this trademark. And that is your mind, that's our stronghold every day. It marks our lives. It is a true sign of God's covenant love and promises for us. There's daily implications, practical implications. Think about, for example, the last time you gave in to a particular sin. Then the Holy Spirit reminds you of the watermark. Surely as the water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly Christ's blood and his Spirit, the trademark, wash away my soul's impurity. In this way, the watermark points to the trademark. You come before the Lord then, and trusting in Christ for forgiveness, you confess your sins. And so your baptism becomes real, tangible, practical. You use it every day. Because the promise of God's grace isn't, they're not less genuine to you this week than the day you were baptized. I know, on that day, you got wet. Just like every baby at baptism, you were washed outwardly. No, All your sins were not magically deleted by the water, but the promises of God's cleansing signal to you in his name that day that God is not giving up on you. And so when you confess your sins, God is always faithful to forgive, no matter how big or bad the sin was. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. So just as surely as the water was sprinkled on a baby's head, so surely have the baby been made clean by the blood of Christ. You included. And so you receive forgiveness through grace and by grace alone. Imagine going one day without forgiveness. Imagine, boys and girls, that you say or do something against your parents. And your parents would look upon you with such anger and wouldn't talk to you for over a week. How would you feel? And they refuse to forgive your sins until you've shown a changed life. That would be terrible. And the same with the forgiveness for the Lord. You can't go one day without forgiveness of sins, restoration, renewal. It reminds me of my younger years. We were used to climb trees, drive with our push bikes through muddy puddles, and got dirty like boys are supposed to. And we didn't mind a little dirt, but we like to get clean at the end of the day, to take a shower just before bed. That was way more delightful than waiting till the next morning. But we also needed that which we all need every day, to be spiritually cleansed from our sins too, for our souls to be cleansed. Every day we need forgiveness for our sins to be covered with the blood of Christ. And so every day we have reason to remember, to think about our baptism. And at the end of each day, just as sinful crud and junk clinging to my body, I need to visit the cross, my Lord. In fact, my mediator, Jesus Christ, and focus on him. I need him to wash me again, intercede for me. And therefore praise God for the blood that saves instead of stains. Praise God that we have received this watermark and being baptized into the trademark, the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And tomorrow we go into this world and we display this trademark again of the one who bought us. Yes, tomorrow, despite our new sins, we must show in our words and actions that we are precious to our Master who paid the ultimate price for our freedom and our eternal life. When a slave in Jesus' time saw the mark on his skin, he did not hesitate. He knew, I am the saved property of him who bought me. Or to use the metaphor of the paper note, I'm a real child of God due to that watermark. I may receive God's grace because of this watermark. Which brings us now to the second point. It is a guarantee of his reliable covenant name. Congregation, loved ones, I think it's true to say that not everyone experiences this so clearly. And therefore, there's another side to that trademark. And we know it well from everyday life. Trademarks are often acts as a seal in a sense that it gives a certain guarantee of quality. Only when a trademark is on the article, you can be sure that it is a genuine product and not a fake one. The name guarantees that. But what does it mean that the watermark guarantees, or this trademark, the reliable covenant name? Well, Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 10. And therefore, this text is included in our baptism prayer, especially that part saying, "You are the one who drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and all his people at the Red Sea, but your people Israel you have saved through dry ground." Maybe you've wondered, where does this come from, except that Paul speaks about it? What is the significance of it? Well, it's clear, congregation, that the Lord, through this, showed how reliable his holy name is. The name he revealed to his people, "I am Yahweh, the God, the covenant God." Because when God's people left the land of slavery, they were, as it were, baptized in the Red Sea. Going through that water was the way to freedom for them. And from that great Exodus, Paul puts us directly before God when he speaks to the church in Corinth and to us today. "These things happened as an example for us," he says in verse 11. As an example. In fact, he uses the word typical, characteristic. The crossing of the Red Sea is typical in literal sense of the word. It is typical for God to redeem his people by means of water. And later he provided water from the rock and bread from heaven. And again, that seems to be so typical, so characteristic for God to save sinners. This is who God is. It says something about his reliable self, captured in his holy name. And for this reason, God said at the beginning of the Ten Commandments, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt from the house of bondage." And he put his trademark as a seal on the lives of his people that day they crossed the Red Sea. Yes, and also blood flew that day. Remember the blood that night? The blood of the lamb on the doorpost? It was a lifesaver to be confirmed at the Red Sea. The blood has flown for the oldest child. But you put that blood, the Passover lamb blood, on your door. You can go now. But you can go further. Go through the Red Sea, because then you will be truly free. And the same with our baptism. The water at our baptism, connected his name and what his name means to us in life. God who took his people from Egypt through the Red Sea is the same God who at baptism connect his name to us as a God who can be trusted, reliable, covenant God. "I am who I am to bring my people to new life." This is also the promise at baptism. God includes a baby in his reliable covenant with the same name, with his name as ground and foundation. His name says, "Amen, it is sure, it will happen as I promised. I commit my name to this child," or when it's adult, baptized as an adult, to that person. And this is a great comfort. For example, for the parents, the baptismal parents, you may hold on to what then is prayed for your child at baptism. You see your child, as it were, going through the Red Sea, taken care of by the same faithful covenant God with his triune name. And you know, As sure as God saved his people through the water, so sure does he connect his name of salvation to my child. I don't have to stress, to worry. If God's Spirit might, maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed, touch wood, we don't use those terms, by the way, work out Christ's salvation in the life of my child. Because my child may wear God's trustful name as a lifelong trademark. And not just as a logo or a sign, but also as a seal, as a warranty. Because if our God is behind a seal, then my child will be well looked after. And then you can also build, so to speak, on that trademark when you raise your child. This is the conclusion drawn by Paul. He said the Red Sea crossing shaped the life of God's people. Sure, they were rebellious all the way to the promised land. And God so often had to discipline them as a father, disciplines his children whom he loves, Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6. And thus, yes, we may expect much from the triune name of our God, from him as three persons in one. God will not let us be tempted, Paul says, beyond our strength. Also our children. God will also give us a way to escape, that we may be able to bear it, verse 13. Let us never forget this. Let us continue to remind ourselves of our baptism. Or when we look at our children and we become concerned for them, to think back at their baptism. It's given to be used. Therefore, talk to your children about their baptism. Tell them, Mom and Dad, we are also baptized. This is the meaning. This is the trademark we wear because of the watermark. God is present here, now, every day of your life. He never leaves you to yourself. He will lead you every day from the old man to the renewed man, from the house of bondage of sin. We are protected by him. Even, or should I rather say, especially when we fight our threefold enemy in this life. Because we are baptized unto his reliable, faithful, and awesome covenant name. That's the best trademark that a man can ever receive. And this brings us also to the last aspect. It signifies his promise of a renewed covenant life. Brothers and sisters, congregation, how awesome and promising indeed when you are baptized. Not only because we are saved with a reliable name on us, but also experiencing the daily practical impact of this name on our lives, in the renewed life that we may live. For if slavery to sin is behind us, we may now live in freedom. And that's nothing short of a new life. Obviously, this doesn't happen automatically. The covenant is never automatically. The watermark itself doesn't change your and my life. The physical water of baptism does not make you and me to be born again, just as Israel didn't miraculously change into this perfect people by walking through the waters of the Red Sea. So does passage through the water not free you from sin? Across the sea, things quickly went wrong again for Israel. They began to grumble and to challenge the Lord, even worshipped idols. Once across the sea, the Red Sea, Egyptian idols were still attractive. So attractive that at one point they even said it would have been better for them to remain on the other side of the Red Sea. Israel forgot the watermark of the Red Sea. Every time they forgot that they were baptized through water, everything went wrong. And don't we recognize ourselves and also our children in this? And therefore, Therefore, God had to reinstall the Abrahamic sign of covenantal promises, circumcision. And so he connected his promise of redemption made on the night they saw the blood of the Passover lamb. And so they had to be reminded of their redemption from Egypt, lest they forget. Exodus 12, verse 44. And so for all the men who came out of Egypt, they had to be circumcised. We read in Joshua 5, verse 5. And yet, so often they forgot both the water and the blood sign of their liberation and their redemption. It was not always the changing of the hearts. Their threefold enemies hammered them. And so they often grieved the Holy Spirit on their journey to the promised land and once they are there as well. Just like us and our children, covenant children, do. And yet, this doesn't nullify God's covenant promises. And so every time you read those promises, every time you read the word, or when it's administered to you, you're called to display the trademark of God's reliable covenant name in your conduct and in your doctrine. The watermark, your baptism, reminds you of your need for renewal, to live out the trademark, to show to whom you belong, to be different from the world. And also for your children to be different from the children of the world. Our need for God's Spirit to conform our will to be in line with God's Word is ongoing. We, and particularly our children, need to continue as distinguished people. Doesn't mean that we and our children are better than others. No. Parents confess at their child's baptism that they, like all children, are by nature under God's judgment. Evil is just as obvious for them as the unbelieving neighbor's kids. And it's sometimes hard to notice the difference. Yet, faith in Jesus Christ, whose saving work is the crux of the baptism, makes the difference. How? Well, fruits of faith, which are just the beginning of God's obedience that God requires of us, are visible also to others. Because it is characteristic, it's typical for God to separate those who have received the watermark and the trademark from those who rejected Him. And every day, Christ's Spirit crucified the old man in us. It's a lifelong process. Despite our spiritual ups and downs, which culminates in the believer to also persevere till the end. Canons of Dort, chapter 5. The Lord is clearly and evidently caring for you. He knows you inside and outside. And so He also knows how to turn your life inside out to rid you of sin and evil. And this will at times when you sometimes least expected, cause others to ask the questions about the reason for your unique walk and talk. Why are you a Christian? Why do you believe in God? Why do you live so different from us? How can you trust a God that you can't even see? And then you simply point to or refer to your invisible watermark, as well as your trademark, the privilege to be someone who carry a triune name, or should I rather say, are carried by a triune God. You wear that with faithful trust, confidence for your life. A name, a triune name that stands behind a blessed life, a new life in Christ Jesus, a valuable life, much more than any paper note you might have in your wallet. A life that is grounded in God's promises made at your baptism. Promises that speaks of the work of Jesus Christ. Promises that speaks about a renewed soul. It is this soul that will be saved one day when the Lord calls you. It is the soul that will be reunited with a renewed body when Christ returns. And again, His promises will be fulfilled in your life. You see, brothers and sisters, how blessed we are with the watermark. You see how blessed we are with the trademark. That in Christ, we have received this sign. The sign that also speaks about His victory, which will become ours. In this sign, we will conquer. Christ Jesus, our Lord, who loves us like no one else and changes us to be like His. In Him, we may daily serve as servants, as slaves, thankful and joyful, and to His glory and to His praise in this life and in the life to come. Amen. Let us thank the Lord in prayer. Our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we bring you praise and thanks for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the watermark. And that your triune name is as a trademark on us, that we belong to you. You guarantee us not just quality, a life of quality, but belonging as slaves to the most awesome and glorious Lord in the universe. Thank you, therefore, for the sacrament of baptism. Thank you for the work of the Lord Jesus in being the Lamb who transferred us to a new life through His Spirit by His death. So that circumcision, that He established the New Testament circumcision through His death on the cross. What a profound meaning of baptism, of this sacrament. And when we were baptized, indeed you called each one of us your own. You gave us such rich gospel promises, all the benefits of Christ. You promised to wash us with His blood and wash us with His Spirit. You promised us both justification, sanctification of our lives. In your sovereign work in both. Your promises, which are signed and sealed in baptism, Lord, is the ultimate for us. To such an extent, Lord, that if anyone would ask us why we are different, that we will boldly say that we are baptized. And that your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus for us. Father, we pray that you would help us with your Spirit to continue resting and trusting in you. Thank you that you continue to bestow your to give your grace on us. It's entirely undeserving. Help us therefore to respond in faith to you as triune God. To be reaffirmed in our faith through your work in us. Father, we pray, help us to bear fruit also this week through the power of your Spirit, to remain dependent on you, to not make our own plans, set out our own course according to our own wisdom, but according to yours, scripturally, grounded in you. Help us also as parents, when we speak to our young people, our children, also show them the beauty of God's promises in their lives, for they were baptized. Help us also to guide them to in due time make professional faith, to respond in faith to your covenantal promises. That they will joyfully and publicly embrace what you have done for them. Father, be with those in our midst who are struggling also with their faith. Strengthen them. Pray for those who are struggling with their health. Pray for the sick, for the elderly, for the lonely. Provide for them also in this day. Grant that we will keep our eyes open for them. See them. Love them and show that, not only in word, but also in deed. So that next time that we celebrate the Lord's Supper, also a beautiful sacrament of which we will reflect on in the weeks to come, that we'll see how meaningful it is to be one body. For we are all, not only through the same Red Sea, but also with the same bread. And from the same grapes in Christ Jesus. Bless us, Lord, in the remaining of this day. Help us to reflect on your word, to pray about it, and to rejoice in the time of rest that we may enjoy, that we may receive from you. Grant us travel mercies back home, and bless us. We ask all this in the awesome name and for Christ Jesus' sake only. Amen. Our closing song is Psalm 90, verse 8. O Lord, may our children marvel at your grandeur. Let us sing that together. Now again receive the blessing of the Lord, depart in his peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.